views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
On the leading edge of personal, social, and global transformation, The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, is making connections that inspire and accelerate individual and collective awakening. Dr. Julie is joined by visionary leaders and change makers from around the world to explore social change, the generative power of conscious, co-creative practice, and what's emergent with health, science, spirituality, and the evolution of consciousness. Break through the illusion of separation, explore the infinite field of possibilities, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Here's your host, Dr. Julie Kroll.
Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Dr. Julie Kroll, and you are listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, here on Transformation Talk Radio. Hey, stay with us for the next hour as we explore our interconnected lives and our interconnected universe. Every Tuesday right here on The Dr. Julie Show, we have some of the world's leading visionaries and experts helping you to explore your connection to self, spirit, nature, community, and all things working in the world. And speaking of what's working, imagine a new narrative, a new story, a new worldview that translates the scientific facts of the universe into a soulful story of creation. Imagine an evolutionary story that can inform us all and help us find our path in the midst of turbulence and chaos in our times, and maybe even help us understand that these crises might just be the best thing that ever happened to humanity. Imagine the web of life is not a force challenging us to battle, but a sacred and powerful partner calling us to join in the dance. We are going to dance the dance today and join in this universal dance. And I'm so happy to have our guest with us today. I have to tell you, this is all about changing our perspective. And this last week, I broke my leg. And I not only broke it once, but I broke it in three places. And I have a cast from my toes to my mid-thigh. And so literally, I am grounded and put in a horizontal position for 2 weeks until I go back to the doctor, but probably 8 weeks because of the nature of this fracture. It has changed my perspective on so many things and so many things we take advantage of. And sometimes it takes this big event in our life to really shift our consciousness and help us look at the little things. And that's one of the things that I've noticed about this book, The Holy Universe, that literally we even look at how we use technology differently. It really wakes us up and shifts our perspective. So I invite you all to take a few deep breaths and bring your awareness into this moment. Open your mind, connect with your heart, and I invite you to yourself and to expand into your greatest potential as I introduce my guest, David Christopher. He's an award-winning author and teacher of The New Story, a story that integrates the science of the 20th and 21st centuries with a spiritual sensibility toward the creation of the universe. He became intrigued with the story over 15 years ago, but as he dove deeper into this new worldview, he felt something was missing. He missed the poetry. He missed the lyricism and the liturgy and the sound and the cadence of the scriptures. He wanted more, and he wanted a story that also felt like the story given to him in his youth. This led him to write The Holy Universe, a new story of creation for the heart, soul, and spirit, which recently won the silver in the Nautilus Book Awards for religion and spirituality. He brings life to the scientific study of the universe, transforming it into a lyrical narrative of the story of creation. Leaving behind corporate and airline careers, David has pursued his passion for exploring the answers to humanity's questions about our place in the universe, bringing forth this new story for our turbulent times. And I tell you what, he did it in such a genius way. The dialogues within the Holy Universe are the outgrowth of 15 years of his delving into all of these works of transformational scientists, philosophers, theologians, along with his work with the Pachamama Alliance. He wrote the book in part for people like him who call themselves spiritual but not really religious, who are trying to make sense of the craziness going on in the world, and who seek a meaningful path through the global crisis we collectively face. And I tell you, the genius part is how he's taken this scientific theory and a lot of religious theology and mixed them all up into this integrated story that doesn't overwhelm us. It's everyday language, it's everyday characters, and it's really amazing. Welcome, welcome, David. I'm so happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. What a wonderful introduction.
Well, thank you. You know, I had a real shorter introduction for you prepared earlier in the day, and I thought, wow, I really want to give people the full perspective of this, because you're rather modest in your short little bio that you share with us. But this story is amazing, and thank you for sharing it. Before we dig into the book, I have a tradition here on the show. Our listeners, we like to look at different ways that different ways that we all look at unity on the planet and our unity consciousness. So I like to start with this question. David Christopher, what does all things connected mean to you?
Well, for me, it's very clearly on from the beginning of the universe, 13.8 B. Everything we see just in the room around you, in the environment around you, the world around you, when you look up at the stars, and when you look at telescopes, and look at all the galaxies that surround us, and then the space telescopes that bring us all the way back to almost the beginning of the universe. All of that emanated from one single point. So science is beginning, it is already catching up with what we've known intuitively all along. We are all connected. We all come from the same source. So everything is connected in a very, you know, on many levels, on spiritual levels, on emotional levels, on physical levels. Everything is connected to one another. I had the privilege of being at a sew-in celebration last Halloween, where we were in a room that had 12 sides to it, and someone had created a web that connected all 12 sides with each of the point. And that was the first time when I reached up. It was about 7 feet high. I reached up and I pulled on the strings just to play with it. And I really got that the whole web moved at once. It's all, you cannot pull on any part of the web without it showing up in every place, however minute it might be. So that to me is, so that gives you a sense of how all things are indeed connected.
Mm. Wonderful. And what you did in the Holy Universe was you really took the story of creation through science and religion and made it so, maybe I should ask you what your intention was, because it's so readable and it's so fascinating. And really, it makes us not focus on the debate of who's right or wrong and which one is true, but it makes us really look at what do we want to create as we move forward.
Sure. Well, just to give you to give your listeners a little bit of background, what it is indeed a dialogue between a seeker and a sage. And the seeker comes to the sage with a problem of not only having lost his job, but also having lost his way. And the dialogues begin with the story of the universe, because that's what the sage says, that's pretty much, you don't have a story. Let's start with the biggest story of all. So what I was looking to create was, really this was for me as much as anyone else, I was really trying to make sense of the science on more than just a logical, analytical level. I wanted it more that really struck me, where poetry strikes you, in that way where you can say things with poetry that you can't say any other way. And I want to evoke that sense, that embodied sense of the story, rather than just simply the scientific facts of the story. So that gives you a little bit of the background. I think that got to your question. But that gives you a little bit of what I was looking for. I really, you know, as you said, I really missed the sound of the scriptures that I grew up with. And even though I'd left behind that literal interpretation of the King James Bible, which is what I was raised in the Episcopal Church, I really missed the sound of it. It was beautiful. The stories were, the way in which they were told were so beautiful. And I wanted the creation story of science told in that way, too. So with some help of some friends, and also I can't take full credit. There were times where I'd put the pencil down and look around the room and say, okay, where is this? Who is? Where are you? Where is the muse? Because this certainly isn't coming from someone who used to fly airplanes for a living. At least it felt that way. So that gives you a little bit of what I was hoping to do and what I was looking for.
Mm. Well, I think that you definitely succeeded in what you set out to do. There's so much beauty and poetry in the words. And because you're storytelling, because it's set in the fictional, and I'd like to talk to you about this after our break, is you know, why you've done so much research. It's obvious that you could have written a nonfiction book of some sort, but you put it into fiction and it flows with ease and joy, and the storytelling draws us in. And in fact, your main character talks about why stories are so important. So maybe we could start there when we come back for break. But you did succeed. It's beautiful. It's lyrical. It's just very poetic. So I appreciate that. And I also want to talk about this notion of sacredness versus separation. So we have a few really good places to start after break. But I just want to say, David, it's almost like you put a gazillion, bazillion years of information into this little tiny piece, this little speck of a book. So it's pretty magic, and I hope all of our listeners will tune in for more of this conversation and go out and get this book. We're going to talk so much more when we come back from break. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Transformation Talk Radio's amazing hosts span from the Pacific to the Atlantic coast. With a world full of loyal fans, what's stopping you from joining our clan? Bring your powerful message to listening ears. We've been helping people do this for many years. Want to make a difference? We can help you out. Just give us at Transformation Talk Radio a shout. It's easy to get started with an email so small to host@transformationtalkradio.com, and then we'll give you a call.
Want to experience a deeper spiritual connection, reduce stress, and overcome anxiety? You can take control of your life now with the power of meditation. Let Jennifer Farmer, gifted intuitive, medium, and spiritual teacher, show you how easy it is to develop your natural intuitive gifts, manage chronic pain, and live abundantly with a consistent meditation practice. Sign up now for Jennifer's newsletter at jenniferfarmer.com to receive a free healing meditation and watch her free instructional videos at jenniferfarmer.com.
Heliosophy, sun wisdom for the crystal age. Learn how humanity can align with a solar stream of wisdom coming from the central sun and assist our gradual awakening. Discover how you can accelerate the dawning of a new solar worldview. Get a wider paradigm and prepare yourself for new levels of your own awakening. At MERU University, 2 days online, August 31st and September 7th. Heliosophy, sun wisdom for the crystal age. Register at meruuniversity.org.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Change makers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Tune in to the hit show, Get Into It, Winning at the Game of Life with intuitive energy healer and medium Lynn Brown on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to bring the magic of soul into every aspect of your life. Learn how to use spirit tools and experience the immediate connection with yourself as a spiritual being with natural spiritual abilities as you are guided on the pathway to success and joy. Visit ruintuit.com. That's the letter R, the letter U, intuit.com. And get into it now. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit limelightradio.com.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the new mainstream in radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected. This is Dr. Julie Kroll. I'm talking today with David Christopher, author of The Holy Universe. And David, like I was saying before the break, so many things struck me about this book. And maybe later in the show, I'll tell you a vision I had once I started reading it as well. But the piece about sacredness versus separation, one of the things I'd like to talk about is in the book, it really talked about the sappy language, the sappy. I love this, that, you know, if we're in this world of the technological place of the left brain mind, you have, I'll let you introduce your minds. You have three minds that you talk about in the book. The modern mind is what we're talking about. But if we're in the modern mind and we're scientific, there's no honoring and reverence of really creation in that place. And we sound sappy. But you started to talk about, okay, so we either have separation or we have sacredness. So let's talk more about that. Tell us a little bit about that. Where does that come from, where you recognize sacredness versus separation, and what do we need to do to heal that?
Well, it comes from the stories that we started telling ourselves. And just to touch on that, as you were talking about the sappiness, and that I'm remembering that piece in the dialogue where the seeker is talking about that, it just feels kind of sappy. The sage at that point is talking about how the part of the reason why modern mind is destroying the Earth's resources is because it uses the word resource to describe Earth. And within that sense, that the sense of that word is one that we can basically, this is all for our use, and we can do whatever we want with it. And then the seeker asks, well, what's a better word? And the word that the sage uses is the word bounty. And that word gives you an entirely different feel. It gives you an entirely different sense of what the forests are for, or what the oceans are for when we fish, or when we break the soil to farm. That this is not a resource, this is bounty. And in a sense, yeah, it kind of feels a little sappy. And there are a couple places where the seeker in the book where the seeker talks about that. And so that comes out of the story of modern mind, and getting to your original question, the difference between sacredness and separation. Back when ancient mind, you know, the three minds are ancient mind, modern mind, and then planetary mind that the sage talks about. And ancient mind began somewhere between 50 to 100,000 years ago when Homo sapiens, when we as a species, began to get really good at language to the point we can start telling ourselves stories. And the story we told ourselves as we migrated out of Africa across Earth, and we created many thousands, 10,000 cultures and 10,000 languages and 10,000 stories, those stories tended to have, no matter what, you know, they're very different in some ways, but they all tended to have a similar theme of we belong here. We humans belong here on the Earth. We are part. Earth is alive, and we are a part of that its aliveness. We are part of the family of the web of life. And then contrast. So there was a deep sense of sacredness in that we all belong here. Doesn't mean that everything was all hunky-dory during those times. There certainly was intertribal and intratribal warfare that was happening, and there were certainly conflicts. That's part of what humans do. But the sense beneath that, the underlying story was one of deep connection with the web of life and with the cosmos. Then about 10,000 years ago, we became more adept at and serious about industrial and systemic, systemic agriculture about 10,000 years ago, we started settling down into little villages, and which became cities, and then larger city-states, chiefdoms, and then agricultural civilizations. And we started telling ourselves a new story, a different story of separation, where humanity is seen as the grandest creature in the universe, and the earth was created solely for its sake. And we could do whatever we wish to the web of life and take whatever we wish because it's ours. And we can do whatever we want without consequence. And underneath that story of modern mind is one of deep separation. And it deepened as we became stronger about 300 or 400, 500 years ago with the Renaissance, the European Enlightenment, the Industrial Revolution. That story of separation became very, very deep. And that's the difference between the two, and that's where we started cutting ourselves off from any sense of connection with, you know, even with ourselves, with one another, with the web, with our communities, with the web of life, with Earth, and with the cosmos. That sense of separation became permeated throughout our worldview. And it's done amazing things. I mean, we have done, you know, technologically we are brilliant. Modern mind is brilliant, but it has come at a pretty steep price. So that gives you a sense of what your question was as far as the difference between sacredness and separation.
Yeah, thank you. I love how the sacredness is about that ancient mind and the separation becomes the modern mind. But what you do in the book is not get rid of both of them like they were a mistake. You know, it's like, okay, let's don't try to fix the problem that exists. You really bring them both forward into this new integrative model. So tell us about the planetary mind. What is that? How do we get there?
Well, planetary mind is what, it's already emerging. It began to emerge somewhere around 1 or 2 centuries ago with the rise, in the West anyway, with the rise of the New Thought churches. That certainly is one strand of where planetary mind began to emerge. And Pierre Teilhard de Chardin was the first person, well, I shouldn't say the first, I don't know if he was the first, but he was certainly a person who used in his work, he used the term planetary mind as what is emerging. And just to give you a sense of that, what I can do, there's a stanza or two of the story of modern planetary mind that the sage offers. And the sage says, and the overarching story that planetary mind is now creating for itself is this. The creative force of the infinite flows throughout and embraces the universe, whole and complete, ever-changing, ever-creative, and ever-destructive, as the infinite plays and dances, as it seizes catastrophe to create anew, as it yearns for ever greater order, ever greater complexity, ever greater consciousness, and ever greater elegance, as it drives itself toward life. We are thus made in the likeness of the infinite. And it has always been thus. We never were separate. And we can awaken to a deeper communion with Earth, know and love our place within her web of life, rejoice in her, and share in her bounty. And we do so with gratitude, respect, and humility. For we know that while we have learned much, there is still much to learn as planetary mind awakens within the holy universe. So that's just a taste of what the story of planetary mind is that the sage offers.
That was so also, I was going to say, that's also a taste of the poetry in the lyricist in your voice. It's beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, were you going to say something else, David?
There's always another thing for me. But I do want to defer to, you know, it is your show. The thing that I was going to say is that the story is about one of connection, but it's also one of responsibility, too. That, you know, it's we're being called to move beyond just the personal transformation and personal change. That is very important work. But at a certain point, it's beginning to become clearer and clearer that there really is something happening in the earth, and we really cannot continue to ignore this. And David Corton, the publisher of Yes Magazine, talked with me about this. We had this wonderful conversation about this, how the old, there is this mystical unity story that has been in a way limited in that it's almost like we want to just not, it's all Maya, it's all illusion, and we can just simply leave behind all the bad things that are happening on earth. It really has nothing to do with us. In a sense, there's some truth to that, but there's also truth that we are not just spiritual beings on a human journey, which I've heard many times before. We are also physical beings on a human journey, and we are treating one another badly. There are social justice issues. We are treating the biosphere badly, and that is coming back around to get us, to really hurt us. And it's interesting to see that, you know, we're moving from, I think we're moving from a time where it is a, moving from personal change to world change. How do I take my personal work, my, you know, all the work that I've done to transform myself to help transform the world? So that's, that I think is a very important part of the book too, is that it's not just about my life and becoming more, my life becoming more of a transformative and a better life, but using that then as a tool to help the rest of the world.
Mm. Yeah, and it even inspires us to look and say, what is our piece? Like, who are we? What, where are we at on this journey? And then move us into the responsibility. After the break, I'd really like to hear more from you on what we can do and, you know, what you're learning and obviously what's next for David on this journey. But, you know, there's this important piece of action that people are trying to inspire now. You know, we have sacred activism. We're getting new buzzwords that are really talking about the action. And people a lot of times feel like, well, there's too much. It's too big to change the world. I can't change the world, so I'll do nothing. And really, we're inspired to just do what's right in front of us. So I'm going to look forward to hearing what advice you might have for our listeners after this break. And we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to The Dr. Julie Show with the Holy Universe and David Christopher. Please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Into Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, identify your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst and clairvoyant who uses her intuitive and energetic gifts to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Hello, my name is Dr. Friedman Schaub. Anxiety can attack or creep up on us at the most inopportune moments, which makes us feel powerless and out of control. However, anxiety is a basic feeling that is created by our mind. Understanding some do's and don'ts about anxiety is a first step to demystify this emotion and regain control. The more we know about a challenge, the more we can find ways to overcome it.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
How would you like increased health and vitality?
How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
We're back on the Dr. Julie Show. I'm Dr. Julie Kroll, and I'm here with David Christopher, author of The Holy Universe. Hey, David, we were talking about a couple things before the break, but before we get started, I want to make sure our listeners know how to find you. Can you give us your contact information? Do you have a website out there?
Certainly. The only place you need to go to is www.theholyuniverse.com. And that's H-O-L-Y. So it's all one word, theholyuniverse.com. And you know, you can find out, I obviously the book is for sale there, and also it leads you to IndieBound, too, where I always like to have people, if they can, buy their books through independent bookstores. I mean, out in that direction, you know, there's Bank Square Books in Mystic, Connecticut, there's Monte Cristo Bookstore in New London, down on Long Island there's another, let's see, where is that bookstore? Oh, yeah, Montauk Bookstore. And I'm getting all of this just going to the finder that you can find on the website. So I encourage people to go to, you know, support your local independent bookstores. They're vital, vital community resources. And that's part of the work that needs to be done, by the way. And that's why, you know, in thinking about the question you were asking before the break, is rebuilding community and finding those ways to build community. And I think local bookstores and those little gathering coffee and tea shops are important, really very important parts of our communities.
Well, let's expand on that topic then, because we were talking before the break, what can people do? And so many times people feel like there's so much to be done. There's, mm-hmm. you know, we can't clean the oceans. We can't, you know, stop global warming. We're dependent on automobiles and fossil mm-hmm. fuels. What can we do? What can an individual do?
Well, that's and I completely empathize with that, because I still have times where you get overwhelmed at all of that. You know, and there are times where and I recognize that I'm part of the problem. I will look down on a landscape as I'm flying in to go give a talk about the book, and say, oh my God, it's just too big. It's so big and overwhelming. What can we do? And here I am on an airplane burning carbon, and I'm part of it. And yet, in spite of that, who knows what the universe is up to? It may be that it's relying on us to really, you know, suffer through that unknowing and that painfulness of looking at what we're doing, and still anyway, working anyway to try and figure out how are we going to make our way through this what the sage calls the great transformation. And I do actually have a place on my website where I talk about there. Here are seven or eight local or more national organizations that you can tune into. And there's plenty of work to do, and really is about finding your way of working in the world. And that's yet another part of the book where, you know, is your work more localized? Is your work more national or global? It may be any of those. And we can't say that the only way to transformation is going to be this way, that we change the way we do our work locally. Yes, that's important. It's not that we have to change the politics and the policies at higher levels. Yes, that's important too. But they're not the only things. Both of them, there are like four ways that the sage breaks down of working in the world, and we need all four of those. We don't know what evolution is going to do with this. So for me, it really is about finding that passion and really deciding how is it with the limited time I have. And I'm struggling with this myself, too, of where do I go next with this book? You know, do I continue to promote this book? Do I work on another one? Do I work on becoming a teacher? And there's only so much time. So it really, part of me feels like if you're kind of in a way, you know, hurting a little bit and really struggling with it, you're probably on the right path. Because just as when you've come to rough spots in the path when you're climbing the mountain, that could be where you are on your path too, and where, for in my example, where I am too. So specifically though, I love this one organization called Move to Amend, which is working on a constitutional amendment that is working on stripping corporate personhood rights and getting money out of elections. That, you can find the links there on the website. There's another one called Climate Change Coalition. I may have that name wrong, and it may come to me in a second, but it's also on the website of, and this is a wonderful organization that's teaching people how to locally get active with their local congressional representatives and very gently and slowly build a relationship with them. Not about going in and pounding on tables and demanding things, but building a relationship and understanding where they're coming from and assisting them and giving them the political cover they need to enact climate change legislation. I like that one because not only you're working on a local level, but you're also affecting things on the national and the global scale. And there are a number of other organizations. I particularly like the Pachamama Alliance. I've been a volunteer, and I actually worked for them for a short while, and I've been donating for them for, you know, almost 10 years now. And they do rainforest preservation work in Ecuador, but in the north they do wonderful education programs, such as a symposium they called Awakening the Dreamer, Changing the Dream. And that, you know, there's another place where you can hook into, not just with people across the globe, actually, but also locally, too. So, you know, our tasks are to just try something and keep going. And really finding your tribe, finding the people who have the same heartfelt pain in seeing what's going on with the world, whether it's an ecological issue, a social justice issue, or a spiritual issue. All three of those crises are tied in together. And those three crises that we're having in those areas, that's what's spurring this great transformation that the sage talks about. So that gives you a little bit of an answer. And I hope that, I think that covers a little bit of what you were hoping to get on that question.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's a really... you did a good job doing that, and I know there are resources on your website. I have resources on my website, juliekroll.com, mm-hmm. or the Dr. Julie Show, as well, of how people can get involved. And, you know, my path is more of the spirit. You talked about those three different places mm-hmm. for the transformation, and mine is on really how do we bring spirit and consciousness to life, to every aspect of life. And one of the things that the sage suggests in the book, which I think is really brilliant, is when we're looking at any kind of question or answer or debate of you know, what's right or wrong, even the little things. It's not just our vocation, but, you know, what do I want to do in my front yard? There's an example that the sage and the seeker are talking about there, too. But the sage suggests, ask yourself of the options available, which looks more like a picture of your own soul? And I love that. I mean, literally, we can use that in so many different ways to really talk about the alignment of our soul. We might be really fired up about an environment, and we can respect those that are working on, you know, infrastructure and organizational institutions and the spiritual aspects. It doesn't matter which of the crises we're working on, we can work together. But all of them really do need to be in alignment with who we are to make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that particular piece, that the picture of your own soul, that actually came from a gentleman named Christopher Alexander, who, he's actually an architect. And he talks about, he has like three amazing, just, you know, they're so far out there, people don't quite know what to do with it in the architecture world. But he talks about built environments and really how do we create things that have life in them. We're not just creating environments that just, you know, we don't want to build a shopping mall or something like that. They're just so, the spirit is not there with them. It's been, you know, it gets designed out. But he uses that and many other questions with his students as far as which of these design possibilities look more like a picture of your own soul. And he says when he uses those, it's amazing the designs that the students come up with.
Hmm.
So yes, that particular question I really find enjoyable and really very intriguing too.
What I love about your book is that you've taken, obviously, your 15 years of immersion into the science and the spiritual parts of this question and this crisis, and you've used pieces of it woven throughout the book. And I think our listeners will be intrigued with how you put all this together. Maybe we can talk about that in that next segment, because I think it's really important. You've really brought real life pieces into this fiction and wove it together beautifully. So before the break, I just want to remind the listeners again, you can find David Christopher and the book The Holy Universe at theholyuniverse.com. Check him out. There's a lot of resources there. And again, you're going to want to get a copy of this book. So when you come back, we're going to have more surprises. And I want to tell you what happened, David, to me when I was reading the book. So listeners, stay with us. We'll be right back.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Do you seek direction in the world of cares? Countess Starella, the amazing clairvoyant, can help you. Love and romance are her specialties as she tunes in to your life. Is this your soulmate? Ask Countess Starella direct. Born in New Orleans, Starella is a lifelong naturally gifted mystical lady with an incredible ability to see the future for you. Starella has been featured on many international television channels and for years had her own show in Japan. Her European TV credits include a series of two-hour specials for Network TV3 in Ireland. Countess Starella is currently featured here on Transformation Talk Radio in a weekly show, Psychic World, each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can consult Countess Starella personally on the brilliant website of Aranum.com. Just search for Countess Starella. There you can speak direct with the wonderfully gifted mystical lady herself, the amazing Countess Starella, on Aranum.com. That's Aranum.com.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com.
Tune in to Psychic Cup of Coffee with Kelly Sutliff every Tuesday, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Kelly is a 14-year veteran of psychic ability, and she offers inspiration and comfort to those dealing with grief when they have lost a loved one, and also shares with people that the psychic world is very real. Call 1-800-930-2819 during the show with your questions and visit PsychicMediumKelly.com. That's PsychicMediumKelly.com.
We're back, and you're listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected on Transformation Talk Radio. And I have with me today David Christopher from The Holy Universe. It's a beautiful book. Check it out at theholyuniverse.com. And please visit our website, thedrjulieshow.com. You can find information from upcoming shows, and all the archives for past shows are there. We have an amazing lineup coming this fall and some amazing guests. So check us out at thedrjulieshow.com. And before the break, David, there's a couple secrets that we really want to talk about from the book. But I have to tell you, one of the things that happened to me when I was reading was I started reading the book and I had this vision of you and I in a boardroom. And there were 12 people. We were there and we were having a conversation. It was like this moment at a time, and we were having a conversation about how to tell the new story, and it was you and me, and it was kind of like, I don't know if we have past life memories or what, it doesn't matter, but that's where it transported me to this really comforting place that we really are going to do this. Like, we were in this boardroom and we were strategizing and talking about ways to tell the new story to, and it was just really a beautiful experience. So thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome. And it's interesting because as you're talking, just even now in Findhorn, there's now the new story. There's a creation story convergence happening in Vancouver, BC this month. At Findhorn in Scotland, there is a new story summit that's happening in September. So there's a lot of interesting little things that are happening, and people may have heard of the Big History series that's happening on the H2 channel for the past couple of years, looking at this whole history of the universe from 13.8 billion years. So it is interesting how that this new story is beginning to assert itself in a way. Mm. So I like your vision.
Yeah. It's coming through, and we are telling the new story. And the thing that I really appreciate about your book is, you know, some people are really about the history and studying, and that scientific mind wants to make sense. And if you're that mind, you're going to love the book. And then there are others of us that are really interested in how do we bring spirit and consciousness to life. And if you're that person, you're going to love the book. So if you're right brain, left brain, doesn't matter, you're going to love this story, the fiction that comes through this beautiful weaving and this beautiful tapestry. So David, tell us about this book. You wrote this in this fictional manner, and there's a sage and a seeker, but tell us, how did you get to the sage and the seeker piece? And let's reveal, who is that sage?
Well, it started, actually, the very beginnings of it happened when I was in college. I had written a little piece that had an instructor and a student, and they had a dialogue. And I was playing with the formatting of the page. If people want to see an excerpt, they can see what I've done with the formatting. It's not a traditional text or format when the narrative comes out. It's written in kind of a stanza format, where the seeker is on one side of the page and the sage is on the other side of the page. And it just, you know, when I was encouraged to write the book, this conversation is just simply what came forward, that I never had any question that this is the way I wanted to tell it. It felt like there was so much nonfiction out there that it felt like there was a dearth of real story, that I really wanted to tell it in a fictional way. And then, so this conversation between a seeker and a sage, you know, it just kind of emerged that way. And an interesting thing, I don't want to give away all the surprises in the book, but there's one that's always been fun to talk about, is that I would imagine many of your listeners now, as we've been talking about this seeker and a sage for the past 45 minutes to an hour or so, we've been talking about these two people. And we have a tendency to start visualizing, when we hear about people, we start visualizing them in our heads. And what I'll do about, you know, two-thirds of the way through any presentation I'm doing, I will use the personal pronoun she for the very first time in the presentation to describe the sage. And quite often you can almost see a physical reaction people will have. And nearly everyone has the reaction of, oh, huh, I didn't realize the sage was a woman, a flesh and blood woman. And I'll ask this. Last Sunday, I was at a Unitarian church in Berkeley, California, and I asked, how many people saw two men talking? And about a third of them raised their hands. How many people saw a man, the seeker, talking with this more spiritual, amorphous being who really didn't have an identity as man or woman? Maybe another third. The rest weren't sure, and then I asked, how many people saw a flesh and blood woman speaking with a flesh and blood man? And three people raised their hands. They all saw the seeker as a man, and they had no problem with that. But they all didn't, very few of them will see the sage as a woman, and then the question I go into is why? Why did you see this sage as a man, or how you did, and why did so few of us see the sage as a woman? And the reason why I think this is an important point is that it gives them, they all were surprised, many of them were surprised, and they had that visceral reaction. And it's important to have that visceral reaction to see just how deeply inculcated it is within us, men and women and people of color, people who identify as Caucasian or white. That's how deeply inculcated the old story still is within us, that when we hear sage, there's this tendency that it has to be a man, and in many cases, you know, a white man. So that idea of privilege, the conversation is now, there's actually a conference now in Wisconsin called the White Privilege Conference, which talks about the unexamined assumptions we have about people with regards to race and gender and how they play out in our lives. And the reason, again, the reason why this is so important is that the same worldview that will hold down genders, identities, sexual identities, classes, was the same worldview that sees those people as throwaway people, is the same worldview that will throw away forests, that will overfish the oceans, that will pollute the airs and the waters. It's the same work. That same work of looking at that, examining that, and healing that as best we can is the same work that we have to do around social justice issues and ecological issues. It's related to both of those. So that's a surprise that I don't mind revealing. You know, it's fun that people read the book and have the surprise when they read it about 15 pages in. But it's something that if not everyone can read it, at least want them to hear that this is a very important part of the work, is to bring those voices, the feminine voice and all the other voices that have been put down, to bring those voices back into power. I think that's very much a part of the process of creating planetary mind.
Mm. You know, the other thing that comes to my mind when you're talking about that, David, is the importance of healing that privileged mentality of healing not only the perpetrator of it, which we're unknowingly perpetrators as a white man, probably a white male in today's world, but also to heal the victim part of that perpetrator so that we're not playing that out in our forests and our oceans and our earth as well. So that's a really important piece.
Yeah. It's a fun little surprise to talk about. I'm not going to reveal all the surprises in the book, but that's one that I really, that one's very important.
Yeah.
And it's important for everyone to hear.
You know, there are so many surprises in the book. And like I say, you take this really comprehensive piece and it makes it, palatable. We can take smaller bite-sized pieces of this and apply it to ourselves. It's very well written. I appreciate that. So if you could take we just have a few minutes here before we close, and I hate to say goodbye because I love this topic, but if you would just have a minute or two of what is the most important thing you want listeners to take away from today, what would you say?
The new story is this, that we are deeply connected to the cosmos. We are deeply connected to one another, to the web of life, and to Earth, and to the universe. That we belong here, that we are not some fallen, the old story of a fallen humanity, or somehow that we are flawed, that a lot of, you'll hear that rumbling around in some environmental groups that there's something wrong. We'd be better off, the Earth would be better off without us. I don't hold to that. We belong here. The universe worked for 13.8 billion years to create you. You had to have that 13.8 billion year history and that 4 billion year history of Earth to be here. So we deeply belong here. And even science is beginning to agree with that. Science is now showing that, yes, what we've known all along intuitively is that we are part of this mysterious, beautiful, amazing process. And on the other side of that, we have a responsibility. We are playing a role right now. That role is either helping to bring forth planetary mind, or it's not really being part of that process.
Mm. Yeah.
And so the call really is to join in. This is supposed to be fun, too. If you're not having fun and feeling fulfilled in along with all the challenges, then you're missing a big part of the point. This
Amen.
Is a big part of it.
This is
it. Enjoy the process of creating planetary
Thank you so much, David. David Christopher, the Holy Universe. I've enjoyed our conversation today so much. I appreciate having you here today. And hey, I'm going to remind our listeners, if we're not having fun, what are we doing? So make connection your intention. Live into your wholeness. We'll see you right here next week again. Thanks a lot for tuning in.
You've been listening to The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected, with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com as you journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com for next week's guests and to catch up on past shows. See you next week.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio, the new mainstream in radio.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit thedrjulieshow.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Do you seek direction in the world of cares? Countess Starella, the amazing clairvoyant, can help you. Love and romance are her specialties as she tunes in to your life. Is this your soulmate? Ask Countess Starella direct. Born in New Orleans, Starella is a lifelong naturally gifted mystical lady with an incredible ability to see the future for you. Starella has been featured on many international television channels and for years had her own show in Japan. Her European TV credits include a series of two-hour specials for Network TV3 in Ireland. Countess Starella is currently featured here on Transformation Talk Radio in a weekly show, Psychic World, each Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern. You can consult Countess Starella personally on the brilliant website of Aranum.com. Just search for Countess Starella. There you can speak direct with the wonderfully gifted mystical lady herself, the amazing Countess Starella, on Aranum.com. That's Aranum.com.
Galios miso dressings are delicious and made with only the finest, freshest, and all-natural ingredients. Galios miso dressings are low in fat, sugar, salt, and carbohydrates. They do not contain any artificial ingredients or any wheat, eggs, vegetable gums, or MSG. What they do contain is astonishing flavor and silky texture that can only come from using premium quality ingredients. Order online with free shipping at www.galeoscafe.com. That's GALEOS cafe.com